All right. But it was a young lady, and she was singing, "All I Want for Christmas Is You." Now, we're here at the end of our Advent sermon series, and we've talked about all the crazy things that people want. And honestly, when it all boils down to just the way it is in this world, we don't really want a hippopotamus. We don't really want two front teeth. We don't want Xboxes or PlayStation 3s. When it all comes down to the nuts and bolts of it, all we really, really want for Christmas is you, is a relationship, is love. To be in that close association with somebody else where they know that they love you, where they know they care about you. And if you have that at Christmas time, you have everything. If you don't have that at Christmas time, all the presents in the world won't make a difference, because love is so powerful and it is so important in our lives. But why? Why is it that love is so powerful, and why is it, especially at Christmas time, that people will travel thousands of miles to go home to be with their families? If we have people in the military, they'll do everything. They will try to move heaven and earth so that they can be home in their family at Christmas time. Or if you've got college students, why they will drive in the snow, blinding snow, for hours to be home at Christmas time, to be with family. Why is it that that is so important to us? And why do we treasure that so much? And why, as you get older, is that more important than any gift that you could possibly get under the tree? We're going to look at that today, because I believe that that kind of love, that special family love, that is that bond between people, is so important because, in a way, it's a little bit of a microcosm. It's a little bit of an example of the love that Jesus Christ has for each and every one of us. That overwhelming love that He loves you so much that He came to this earth, that love is demonstrated in that family relationship. And there is a reason why we will travel thousands of miles, and it's to experience that love, that compassion, that feeling. And why is that? Well, I'll just give you three real quick reasons. One is this: because your family will accept you exactly where you are. Your family will accept you exactly the way you are. I know this for a fact, because when we were living in the same town as Jennifer's parents, oftentimes Uncle Judd would come to Christmas. And if you could get Uncle Judd a couple glasses of eggnog, you might get him to light his chest hairs on fire. Now, I have no chest hair, so this is always very exciting for me. And you say, boy, he's a strange guy. And he is, but he's Uncle Judd. Everybody accepts Uncle Judd just the way he is, right? And that's the way families are. They accept you just the way you are. No pretensions. You know, you're born into a family, and your parents have to accept you. The first time you mess up, they may want to kick you out of the door, but they don't, because they love you. They care for you. They know that you're going to be a sinful child growing up. Their job is to raise you, to accept you just the way you are. But we have a hard time doing that, don't we? We don't always accept people the way they are. We are always putting up barriers. Now, see, Jesus wasn't this way at all. I was trying to think of an example, and the only example that just came shining through out of the New Testament was when Jesus was in Samaria, and He went to this well, and there was a Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus talked to this woman and asked her, "Will you give me a drink of water?" Now, in that culture, that was very wrong, because Jesus was a male, she was a female. He was a Jew, she was a Samaritan. And she was not living a very good life. And Jesus overlooked all of that and established a relationship with her. Jesus was always doing that throughout the whole entire Gospels. Jesus came to people exactly where they are, where they were, and He established a relationship with them. That's the way God is. It is so strong that He came into this world and established a relationship with us. He didn't let the sin of this world to prevent Him from doing that. He left heaven on high and came as a little child to have that relationship, to not put up pretensions, to accept us just the way we are. It is so difficult for us. Tim Tebow. Broncos quarterback. A very good quarterback, I might add. And a very good team. Now, my Broncos have not won for a very, very long time, but they're doing very well right now. And I just read the other day that Tim Tebow is not a good quarterback because in college he was babied. A real quarterback comes from lackluster colleges, and running quarterbacks just don't work. You see, we have this vision of what a quarterback should look like. We have a vision of what the perfect world is, and if a person doesn't fit that vision, then we chop them off and say, forget it. That's the human nature. That's the way it is. But Jesus accepts us just as we are. So that's the first reason. The other one is this. Love allows for the truth. When you are in a family relationship, you can tell the truth to each other. I have people in my family, believe it or not, that love me so much that they are never afraid to tell me the truth, the things that I need to hear. And they are things that are sometimes very painful. And the only way that you can hear stuff like that, painful stuff, is if you have a relationship with somebody. Jesus said, speak the truth, but speak the truth in love. And the only way that you can tell people the hard, brutally honest truth is if there's a relationship and there's love in that relationship. And families have that kind of relationship. And so when you are in a relationship with a family and it's a healthy family, there's no problem at all for a sister to go to a brother or a sister or a mom to a dad or a kid or whatever and tell the brutal, honest truth because they need to hear it. And it's not just, hey, you've got something in your teeth. Before you go outside, you might want to get rid of that one. But some of the really, really tough and painful stuff. Because quite honestly, folks, we don't know everything. We live in a world that we paint of ourselves, that we paint. And we think that's reality, and the fact is it's not reality. And we need people to pierce through that and tell us what reality is. And a family will do that, and people that love you will do that. There was a great, great, great auction that happened recently at Christie's Auction House in New York City. It attracted a record sales price for a photograph. Listen to this. A photograph. In November of 1999, it was a photo by German artist Andreas Gursky of a scenic view of the Rhine River, and it sold, and this was very recently, for $4.3 million of a photograph from a chateau in the Rhine River. Now, what's really, really interesting is that the chateau that the photograph was taken from is also for sale. And if you don't want the photo, you can actually buy the chateau for about a third the price. But we like the pictures, don't we? We like the stuff that's not real. We like in our image what we think life is. Sometimes we shy away from what the truth and the brutal reality is. But the family and those that love you and are in a loving relationship with you, they'll break through that every time. And they'll tell you the truth that you need to hear. That's the second point. The third point is probably the most obvious, and that is families will love you sacrificially. Parents know this about their children. Children sometimes know this about their parents. We know this about our spouses, is that we would do anything, including give up our life for those that we love. It's a simple fact. We love people so much that we would let ourselves be destroyed than to see them destroyed. And to have somebody that would care about you that much is a great thing. You see, Jesus cares about us so much that he wasn't concerned about his own life. And so he left the heavenly splendors and all the glories and the cherubim and the seraphim and came as a baby in Bethlehem to live among us, to live a perfect life among us, and to be destroyed, to give up his life sacrificially. That's what true love is. And families know that. Our gospel lesson today is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says this, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciple, if you have love one for another. A lot of times in a lot of the relationships in this world, you're going to love because you want to be loved back. But the family simply loves you because you're family. And Jesus is that way. He loves you simply because you're his. He doesn't care what happens in your life. He doesn't care how much you mess up. He still loves you sacrificially. He meets you where you are. Sometimes he corrects you. That's the story of Christmas. That's the story of love. There's a story told of a mentally challenged child, and his name was Chad. And he loved school. And although he was teased and taunted almost daily by the kids in his class, and even though the children made it clear that they didn't want him to participate in their games, he never gave up hoping and asking and tagging along beside them. One day he announced to his mother that he was going to make a Valentine for each one of his classmates. And though his mother feared that it would only be one more thing where he would get hurt by the kids' reactions, she painstakingly helped him make Valentines, one for each child. On the night before Valentine's Day, he carefully re-examined each Valentine and placed them into his tote bag for distribution the next day. She prayed for Chad that night, asking that God would protect his spirit and keep him from getting crushed with cruel remarks. After sending him off to school the next morning, she quickly baked some of his favorite chocolate chip cookies to serve him when he arrived home. Just before he was about to come home, she placed the freshly baked cookies on a plate and poured a tall glass of cold milk and waited for him to come through the door. She feared that Chad would be coming home disappointed because though he remembered all of his classmates, she feared that he would not be remembered by any of them. The door opened, and in ran Chad. He was so excited. He didn't even see the cookies or the milk on the table. He marched right up with a big smile on his face and towards his room. I have some cookies and some milk for you, honey, his mother shouted. Not a one. I didn't miss a single one of them, he exclaimed. After a short while, he came back into the kitchen and once again announced that he was so happy because he hadn't forgotten a single one of his classmates. He had given a Valentine to each one of them. His mother hugged him and said, I am so proud of you, honey. You're the very best boy a mom could ever want. And later, when his mother looked through Chad's tote bag, it was obvious that he had not received a single Valentine. You see, love, the love that Jesus has for us is not a love that we expect to receive. It's a love that gives and gives and gives. That is the greatest gift of Christmas. And as the gift of this Christmas season, we experience it in our families just a little bit. But someday, we will experience it with him forever. In Jesus' name, amen.